Hello, welcome to the Sassy Ladies Blog Talk Radio. This is Wendy Hansen, your host and the business coach of the Sassy Ladies. We work with spirited entrepreneurs trying to help you be successful in your business. And with my partners, Michelle Girasoli and Miriam Perry, we created a book, The Sassy Ladies Toolkit for Startup Businesses. Check it out at our site, thesassyladies.com. And because we wrote the book to help people get started and help people even remember things they need to do in their business, we thought there's still so much to learn. We have to keep this information going. So we created this show so that we could talk to phenomenal guests who are going to increase your knowledge of how to be successful in business. And I am so excited today because business partners are like spouses. If you choose the wrong one, you're going to be in for a hellish ride. And your business partner could be a boom or a bust to your business. We get asked about this a lot, especially because there are three of us in our partnership. Find out what makes the right choice for you and make sure you have written agreements. Well, I don't think this happens all over, so that's why I've asked Nina Kaufman, who is an attorney. Her business is Ask the Business Lawyer, to join us and talk to us about prenups. So let me introduce Nina. Fed up with convoluted legal issues in your small business? Get Nina Kaufman on your side, an award-winning business attorney and entrepreneur, online columnist and blogger. She demystifies legal mumbo-jumbo in business partnerships so that you can save time, money, and aggravation. Forbes named her one of the 30 women entrepreneurs to follow on Twitter, and she recently launched her program, The Entrepreneur's Prenup, How to Choose a Business Partner Who Won't Bleep You, and is excited to talk to us about this today. Welcome, Nina.
Thanks so much, Wendy. Glad to be here.
Yes. Oh, it's great to have you on this show because this is such a critical issue.
It is. You know, and as you find more and more small businesses looking to leverage resources and increase their outreach, they're doing more and more partnering, if you will. So it really is a very, very timely subject.
It is, and people are afraid of partnerships with good reason, and yet partnerships can be so expansive to help us to be able to really grow our business the way we need to.
Absolutely.
So after the horror stories, you know, why would we want to bring somebody else into our business and have another owner or start a business with someone else? What's your perspective on that?
You know, for the same reasons that all of the statistics you hear about divorce doesn't necessarily stop people from wanting to be married. there's some wonderful things that can come out of business partnerships. There is a camaraderie and a ready sense of, another set of eyes to look at things. There are complementary skill sets. There's a feeling of not being alone in your venture. And importantly, when you're getting started, let's face it, it's sweat equity. These are people that you don't actually have to pay out of pocket to make things happen for the business. That's all very well and good, but you do want to be sure that you are making the kind of choice that can withstand the test of time.
Yes, yes. And I love what you say about, like, you know, different perspectives. And I've talked to so many solopreneurs, and boy, it's really hard, especially because a lot of our work right now can happen in home offices, and you could be sitting there by yourself all the time with your computer.
Absolutely.
And you don't get a reality check on other things. You don't get feedback. It's really hard to expand your business into something that's really going to grow and be a business and not just a hobby sitting at your computer, unless you get some more eyes and some more thoughts on it.
Yeah, and I think it was Albert Einstein who said, the mind that created the problem is not the mind that's going to find the solution.
Yes.
Unless you find a really good way to get out of yourself and your perspective, that's a very, very valuable piece that a business partner can provide.
Yes. So say, let's play out a scenario here that, you know, I really want to find a business partner because I want to be expansive. I really want to grow this. How can I tell if my intended person that I'm looking at is really the right partner for me?
Well, that's a really good question, Wendy. I would say, first of all, the same way I might not recommend looking for a partner the way you look for a spouse because you just sort of think you should have one, You want to be sure that you're working with someone, or you've had experience with someone where you already sense, or you already have a sense of similar values and compatibility. It's something that I talk about in my program, The Entrepreneur's Prenup, where you need to be able to communicate and to be able to meet someone and say, oh, wow, we get along really well. Well, have you tested this, for example, on a on a test project? Have you worked together in another context? Do you have a sense of whether your communication styles are similar? Because someone may be very, very strong, and that's great in the short term, but in the long term, they're a bully. And
yeah.
So do you have that perspective to see how do all of these character traits play out? You know, one example with a business partnership I've been working with were actually two lawyers who came together. They were both refugees from another firm. And I got them to sit down to start looking at their partnership and was it really going to work for them in the context of their agreement. And what it came down to was that one of them said, when we asked about vacation times, this is 24/7. This is a new venture. What are you kidding? And the other said, I have two young kids. I just left a sweatshop. I'm starting my own gig because I don't want to work that way. I'm 9 to 5.
Right.
And that kind of lifestyle incompatibility meant that this was not a venture that was going to work together. So they were four square on a lot of the other things, but not necessarily the lifestyle. So that's an important thing, too, to understand, you know, what are your roles, what are your goals, and how do you communicate?
Yes. And to stay with the analogy about marriage, you know, you wouldn't just, like, meet somebody one night and marry them, you know.
I've heard
you would
that
have
it's
to
done.
Date them.
In
it's
Vegas.
Been done, right. yes, at the Elvis Chapel.
Right.
But, you know, it doesn't always turn out right. And
exactly.
So really having that time to get to see that, and also what you're pointing to, too, which I think is so important, to have someone, to have that third party, ask some questions that when you have the two of you in dialogue, you may not even get to that question, even though it's really an issue that really should be on the surface. It just might not come up.
Absolutely.
So that's really, really important.
Mm-hmm.
So what have you seen in your experience, Nina, are the top three legal issues that tend to get partnerships in trouble?
Well, I'd say, Wendy, it comes under a particular umbrella, which is that small business owners want things done now and fast and yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
So they're not as eager to do the kind of, you know, what lawyers would call due diligence. What I would say, introspection. That's really necessary to see if a business, this particular person is right for you as a business partner. And when you don't go through that kind of examination, you lose sight of the fact that a business partnership is not just a relationship partnership. It is a business partnership, and business terms have to be part of it. So I'd say the top three business terms that people lose sight of, whether it's, you know, legal, business, or that, they're not clear on, I mean, I call them sort of the three M's. It's management. So how is the company being run? What are the roles that each partner is going to play? And how can you make sure that you really are getting complementary skill sets? You know, there's the old expression, if two of you agree on everything all the time, then one of you is redundant. So you want to make sure that you really are growing because you're both bringing something different and of value to the table. So that's one area. Another huge, no surprise, money.
Yes.
Entrepreneurs get so excited about, oh, we're going to partner together and we've got this really great idea. They don't take a step back to say, how much money do I need to earn so that I can pay my rent or meet my mortgage payments or pay for my kid's orthodonture? What is my monthly nut? How long can I afford to go without perhaps getting paid from this venture? And how are we going to distribute profits when they come in? So that's a really important piece, especially if you've got people who are not necessarily coming in as 50-50 partners. One may be making more of a financial contribution, and the other may be making more of a sweat equity or intellectual capital contribution. How are you going to value that? So that's an important piece. And then the third is what I call moving on. Those are the exit strategies. When a business partner needs to leave the business, whether she's in a pine box, whether she's had an epiphany and wants to work with starving children in Ghana, whatever it is, how do you make sure there is an orderly transition for the exit so that the business can continue? And
yeah.
I've just seen too many times when that's not clearly thought out, the business implodes and you've got nothing left. And it can be very,
right.
very expensive from a litigation perspective.
Right. And you have clients out there and you have relationships.
Absolutely.
And it was built on these people. Yeah.
And you've got intellectual property and all of those things that can assets that can be of value either for that business or for another business.
Right. Right. And I know even in my experience with the Sassy Ladies, when we have worked in our business over time, there are times that some of us have spent a lot more time than others,
mm-hmm.
and it has shifted over the years.
Right.
But that has to, it's really hard to look at, and it's not that quantifiable sometimes. So you've got to really have a good agreement. And also, your first point, you know, you have to understand how you're going to disagree with each other. You have
mm-hmm.
to agree that you're going to disagree to be able to make good decisions,
exactly.
but you have to understand, how are we going to do this? How are we going to bring our opinions in and feel that we're heard and respected and then come to a good decision at the end? So,
and that's, yeah, and that's where
involved.
We're ongoing, even beyond the partnership agreement itself, that's where ongoing communication is so important. And it's something that I learned in a partnership of mine that ultimately did not survive the test of time, is that we stopped communicating. We
right.
got into our little silos of working and behaving and didn't get out. So sometimes that's where a third party, and not necessarily a lawyer, it may be a communication consultant, and then there are people who specialize like in the way you have couples therapy, you can have business partnership therapy, to make sure that as business owners, you are keeping your eyes above the dashboard together.
Yes, yes.
And having those regular conversations to make sure that you're always in alignment on that.
Right. So some of our listeners might be thinking, okay, oh, that's great. I'm doing this. I have this person that I want to have a partnership with. Ooh, I don't really want to have a legal agreement. Like, why would I need to have it written down, you know? That really is like, you know, when you fall in love with someone and you ask for a prenup, you
mm-hmm.
know, it's the same thing.
Absolutely.
Why do I need a written agreement?
You know, it's a good question. And the answer I give to that is severalfold, or maybe twofold, depending on how I turn it out. First of all, I think it was Sam Clemens who said, an oral agreement isn't worth the paper it's printed on. As human beings, we remember what we want to remember. Did you ever play the game telephone when you were a kid? You got a bunch of kids sitting around in a circle, and
oh, yes.
you start off with Farmer Jones has a donkey, and you make your way all the way around the circle, and by the time it comes back, you have Davy Jones is a monkey. It's something very different. And we remember, and it's the human condition, we remember what we want to remember for several reasons. Either it's in our interest, or we weren't paying attention at the time, or when things are really good, we want the benefits, and when things aren't working out so well, we want to blame somebody else. So by
yeah.
having a written agreement, you essentially set out the ground rules of what is considered fair for these kinds of circumstances. And that way, when a crisis does come up and you're crazed because somebody actually does need to leave the business, you can go back to a time when cooler heads prevailed and you said, okay, this was the fair way we were going to work this out. And then you can
yeah.
do it that way. But also because you have business assets that need to be taken care of. If, for example, you, Wendy, brought a certain skill set or certain clients to the Sassy Ladies or certain materials or intellectual property, if you left the business, you might want that to leave with you and not have it stay with the business. Well, if you don't
right.
have that in writing, who's to say?
As
if you don't
Stephen
have it in
Covey
writing,
says,
then
begin with the end in mind, right?
Yes, yes, exactly. And hopefully you won't need it, but at least it's there to have that discussion about what does fairness mean to me. I had this experience with a colleague where we were collaborating on a project, and she was one of my dearest friends. It was really hard to have these discussions about what happens if she flakes out and she poaches something from me. What do I feel is fair? And to conjure that up is, oh, you know, you never want to think about your dear friend doing that to you. But once we were able to discuss what's fair, it was no longer an issue. We just knew what the procedure was going to be, and then it's done.
Right.
So.
And the only thing, Nina, that I think could make this more complicated is if you say, but I'm going into business with my sisters.
Oh,
you know,
take from my heart.
I am going to, this is my brother. This is my, you know, I've met a lot of partnerships, like even mother and daughter partnerships lately, mm-hmm. which have been very intriguing. So it's like, why would I need a written agreement there? You know, this is my family.
You know, and it's interesting you mention that because it really is very counterintuitive. What I would say is you want the carving knife used for the Thanksgiving turkey, not as a weapon to stab the person you're working with. You have an additional asset in the mix, as I see it, when you're going into business with a friend, a relative, whatever it is, someone who's very close to you, and that asset is that relationship.
Yeah.
That relationship really needs to be preserved because you do need to be able to sit across the table from them at Thanksgiving dinner and be able to have a human conversation without sticking needles in each other's eyes.
Right. The relationship needs to trump other things. Yes.
Exactly. Exactly. And that's where, again, I said it's counterintuitive. You need to be even more diligent about having these discussions and talking it through because it's so easy to say, well, we're family. Of course we're on the same page.
Right.
And the chances are that you may not be.
And this is another example probably when having a third party help you do this or at least give you a little feedback and ask some questions would be really useful.
It is. Absolutely. The same way, you know, a parent sometimes mediates between two children having a fight. It's helpful to have someone else to not only give a different perspective, but also to help the conversation flow along in a way that it doesn't degenerate into, well, you're a pig and you're selfish and the things that can happen when you know, the personal blaming starts to come in.
Yes, yes. Now, you talked about the three areas that get partnerships in trouble, and the third one was the whole area of moving on, the exit strategy.
Yes.
You know, that's a really challenging one because we don't think of the end in the beginning usually. Why are those exit strategies so important, Nina?
They're important because, you know, as I say, nothing lasts forever but the rocks. It's an old Native American phrase. We don't like to think that this wonderful venture, you know, same thing like a marriage or a life, you don't want to think, oh, I'm going to die, or, oh, this marriage is going to break up. But the likelihood is that we're going to die.
Yeah.
And the possibility is there that the marriage may break up. So the question then becomes, well, what happens? You have to realize there are so many reasons that people may need to leave a business that they didn't anticipate. And it's not just the, Wendy, I can't stand you and I've got my hands around your throat.
Right.
It could be things like caretaking for an elderly parent or a child who has special needs. I saw a statistic that there are over 1 million Americans who are caring for a chronically ill family member or friend every year.
Wow. Yeah.
I mean, it's a lot of people who have to factor that into their lives. And for right now, gee, you know, my husband may be healthy, but who's to say that he doesn't get Alzheimer's in 4 years?
Right.
Or something happens to him where I simply can't devote the time that I thought I could. Or blessing of blessings. You know, I'm 48 and pregnant with twins. Surprise!
Ooh, yes.
Yeah.
One never knows what could happen.
You never, and that's just it. You never know. So that's why these things are important. And because you're dealing with business assets like client lists, like intellectual property, and there are laws and rules around how those in default get distributed, you want to be sure that you've mapped that out properly in advance.
Right. Right.
You know, another piece of it, too, is that in a partnership agreement, if you don't include a way to value the business, so let's say you and I are in business together and I died, you could find yourself in litigation with my husband over, the business was worth $40 million. And you say, well, no, actually, it's only worth $400,000 because you don't want to have to pay my husband my 50% share, which would be $20
million. Right.
And he doesn't want to receive what you think would be $200,000. So that's another area where, again, if you don't say anything, it leaves it open for a very expensive dispute, which means nobody wins.
Yeah, and that's probably a whole nother show, figuring that out. But what's considered like a fair split of profits? Like, how would you even look at that area?
You know, and that's where having outside advisors is so helpful. The short answer is it depends. It depends on the relative skill level that each person is bringing. It depends on, are you bringing $1 million and I'm bringing $10,000? It can depend on, am I contributing software or materials to the company that you are not. So all of these things can have a bearing on what's considered a fair split. Now, usually when people go into business together, they're bringing in relatively equal money. They've had, the same amount of years in business previously. They may both have some client lists. So it seems fair to say, okay, 50-50, and that's fine. But if you're in a situation where, for example, you may have investors in your company, angel investors, they don't necessarily want a huge piece of the day-to-day decision-making in your company, but they'd like a huge piece of your profits because they gave you $1 million. So that's where, too, to be speaking to your accountants, the attorneys, other business consultants that you may be working with to get a sense of, what really is fair, and how might that change over time?
Right. Yeah. Oh, these are all such great issues, and they're so important. And I really believe that it's probably one of these things that, when you're starting out in a business and you're on a shoestring budget and you're bootstrapping everything, that you think, oh my God, lawyers are expensive. Can we figure this out ourselves? Can we just make something up? What's the danger in that? Can somebody put together their own partnership agreement so that they can cover some of these areas?
Well, I guess it would sort of be like my building my own HTML website. I'm not really trained in it, so I could do it. It might not be very good. It might not do for me what I need it to do for me because I don't have the background to be able to see it. Now, for those on a shoestring budget, I will say, by all means, use the internet as an educational tool. You will find different forms of partnership agreements or what shareholders, they may call them shareholders agreements or operating agreements. By all means, look at those, download those, read them through to get a sense of, if not the language, certainly, the issues that they are addressing so that you can start to decide for yourself, what makes sense for me or not.
Yeah.
But when it comes to getting that last look over, I would have to say bring it to somebody who really understands this area because there may be things in those form agreements that could hurt you, that you're just not trained to understand how they could hurt you, or there may be other things that could help you that aren't in there and you wouldn't know to think of them.
As an example,
years ago I was involved in a litigation where there were two business owners. They had an ownership agreement, but it was drafted by their immigration attorney. And this particular immigration attorney didn't understand all of what he should have when it came to business partnerships. So what they were fighting about was, in fact, this very piece of exit strategy that we've been talking about that wasn't even mentioned.
Right.
So that's where it's very important to just have that looked over by somebody who does this on a regular basis to make sure you're on the right track.
Great. Well, I am so intrigued by this topic, and I'd love to learn more about your program. And I love the title of it, The Entrepreneur's Prenup, How to Choose a Business Partner Who Won't Bleed You.
Right. I had to choose a title where my mother would be okay saying it at the bridge club.
right. And it is one that attracts attention because you laugh afterwards, and then you can go into the talk about what's really important about this. So tell us about the program.
Absolutely. And it's available on my website, entrepreneursprenup.com. The thinking behind it, having advised many entrepreneurs in their business partnerships and having lived through my own, is that we need to really understand, if we're getting into business partnerships, that this is not just a light and airy fairy deal, that there's a lot to it. But very often, entrepreneurs don't always know the questions they should be asking. So that's what this program is designed to do, is to help them understand, what are the questions I should be asking? What are the scenarios I need to be aware of? Particularly in the whole package that has the CDs and the workbook, there will also be case studies so you can see, wow, how do these issues of exit strategy play out when we don't have a written agreement? Like an example I have of a restaurant owner where they were all friends and then they're all a third, a third, a third, and then one guy says, you know what, I just don't feel like working so hard.
Yeah.
But without an agreement, well, he's still a third. But the other two are slaving away and he's just sitting around twiddling his thumbs. So seeing how these concepts can actually play out in reality is very important. And then the workbook also has sections and questions to guide you through your discussions with your intended to make sure you are covering a lot of these issues and can then share those with your advisors so they can then create the partnership agreement that works for you.
Oh, I think that's great, really. It sounds like something that, you know, if you're looking to start a business, well, you need two things. You need the Sassy Ladies Toolkit for startup businesses, and then you also need the Entrepreneur's Prenup. And if you use those as guides, you will be 10 steps ahead of people that just decided to, well, we'll just see how this works out, you know.
Yeah.
We'll do this without really planning it. I think it's a wonderful, wonderful resource.
Yeah. And Wendy, I think like your program as well, what we're trying to do here is help people learn from the mistakes we've made and the mistakes we've seen. And when you see what some of the red flags are around partners and partnerships or getting started, you can say to yourself, you know what, that's a snake pit I don't need to step into. I can avoid that one. I can avoid the loss of the $5,000 by not making that mistake. And that's just as valuable as knowing what do I need to do properly.
Yes, yes. And it's like we do not need to sit and make this stuff up, you know. You have given people great examples so that they can look at those and say, ah, yeah, I can see how this might play out in my situation.
Exactly.
And that's the best way to learn. You know, that's how we all learn, is if we can have access to other entrepreneurs and other stories, we don't have to relive other people's misery as if things go wrong.
Exactly.
So tell us again, how can people get in touch with you, Nina, if they have questions about this, they want to see the product? Give us your contact info.
Absolutely. The product is available at entrepreneursprenup, entrepreneurs, prenup, that's prenup.com. And I'm reachable at info@askthebusinesslawyer.com.
Great. Well, Nina Kaufman, it has been just a pleasure to have you on here.
Thanks so much, Wendy.
Thank you for enlightening us about the things about partnerships. It's kind of the stuff your mother never taught you, you know? and we need to know this, and they need to have this product to be able to walk through and know, and then know if they need to have a person, the third party, whether it be the attorney, the coach, the mediator, to join in on this conversation. But
exactly.
It's better to be, what is it, foredone than forewarned. Yes, you need
forewarned
to be prepared in the beginning.
Yes. Yes,
thank
exactly.
you, that's it.
Right, right.
That's
and,
it.
And may you have business partnerships that don't bleep you.
Yes, that's what we wish for everyone. Great.
Exactly.
Well, it's been wonderful to have you, Nina, on the show. Thank you, everybody, for listening. Please go to askthelawyer.com to learn more about
Nina.
Ask
the business lawyer.
Ask the business lawyer, thank you, .com to learn more about Nina. And also go to thesassyladies.com to learn more about the Sassy Ladies. And we wish you great success in your business and in your partnerships. And keep an eye out for these red flags and know what you need to do. So thank you. Have a wonderful day, everyone.
Thank you, Wendy.